This is the first time I've spoken in our new building. It's very exciting. The microphone is perfect level. So is the podium. It's great. So, today I want to talk about listening. This can be done in all kinds of secular settings. However, because we are a faith community, I want to approach this from the viewpoint of being a sacred activity. In this community, we all have our own approach to spirituality, our own ideas of what a god or goddess might be, from a beautiful mathematical equation that explains the reality of existence, to the trees and mountains that bring us comfort and joy. We might have a god or goddess, singular or plural, who we turn to for support and guidance. I could go on. But when we come together, there is some underlying ideas we mostly agree upon that are reflected in our seven principles. As Reverend Duffy talked about last week, we covenant to be together. The covenant that we read together each Sunday ends by saying, to live together in peace, to seek truth and freedom, and to help one another. And I contend that if we learn to be better listeners, we will be on a great path to achieving those goals. This year, I was lucky to be able to offer a workshop to some of you UFB twice at our annual retreat. And I want to start with something I asked the participants to do. I am not going to ask you to sit quietly and listen to someone else speak for 12 minutes, though I recommend trying it sometime. What I want you to do is think about a time when you weren't being listened to. It could have been a friend, a coworker, family member. What was that person doing to indicate that they weren't listening? Were they distracted? Maybe looking at their phone or their watch? Did it seem like they were just waiting their turn to speak? Maybe they had their own agenda in the conversation, and it kept them from really hearing you. Does that sound familiar? Now I'd like you to think about a time where you felt really listened to. How did you know the other person was listening? What did it feel like? Kay Lindahl of the Listening Center says that listening is three things. It is an art, it is a choice, and it is a gift. For some of us, public speaking was a class we had to take at some point in our life. It might even be something we sought out because being able to speak well is important. We might have taken classes on communication, which focused on ways to be a better speaker. Giving a speech, writing a book or article or poem, there is an art to it. But what about listening? What if we flipped this idea on its head and made college students take classes on listening as well as public speaking? It's obvious by just reflecting on all the memories that came up about not being listened to well that it is something we could all learn to do better. Listening is a choice. This was a big aha moment for me the first time I heard it. We often unconsciously choose not to listen because we are distracted or uninterested or have other things going on. But we can always make the choice to listen. We don't have to let our unconscious make that decision for us. When Lindahl talks to people about the workshops that she does, a lot of people say things like, my partner, friend, child, boss could really use a class like that. And she is quick to point out that any one of us could be that person for someone else. Listening is a gift. Lindahl says, truly listening to someone is one of the greatest gifts we give each other. Listening from our hearts, open and waiting for the other to speak what is truly in their heart, is a ministry of hospitality. It is holy work. Speaking from the heart takes courage, to risk and be vulnerable with another. Connecting with someone at the heart level is a sacred experience. It is a gift to ourselves as well as to the person we're listening to. And Quaker author Douglas Steer puts it this way: to listen another's soul into a condition of disclosure and discovery may be almost the greatest service that any human being performs for another. For me, this gift of listening is where the rubber hits the road and we can put our ideals into action. So what is it about being a good listener that's so important? When we listen, truly listen, without judgment, distraction, and agenda, we can hear and witness the humanity in another person. When we experience another person's humanity, it is much harder to toss them aside. It is when people are dehumanized through ideology or rhetoric or even distancing them because they're on the other side of a computer screen. It's easy to disregard them. One tactic the Los Angeles-based activist group Leadership Lab has used to try and change the minds of voters is to have people of the target demographic a law would be affecting go door to door and have conversations with people. They have done this on the topics of gay marriage, abortion, and transgender rights. These were not necessarily conversations directly about politics, but human conversations about what is important to the voter. Canvassers were able to soften the attitudes of voters who were resistant to transgender rights by prompting them to reflect on their own experiences of being treated differently. In the reading that Sandra shared, we see another instance in which listening was able to bridge a divide that in many settings would not even be approached. Kaepernick and Boyers were able to find a common ground by listening to each other and setting aside preconceived notions of the other. This doesn't have to happen in large arenas with charged political ideas. It can happen in committee meetings, with family members and coworkers. This kind of humanizing listening can move us towards living together in peace, which we covenant to do. How about the seeking truth and freedom part of our covenant? That one trips me up sometimes. The wording's a little confusing. But I like to connect it to our principle of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. For me, I think about this as having the freedom to seek truth. We do this by creating a place where people feel free and empowered to search for what is right for them. One way we can do this is by listening to their journeys, but also by listening for our own truths. In many religious traditions, listening is a key component to spiritual discernment and growth. For some Christians, listening for God and for the Christ inside them is a key part of their spiritual path. Zoroastrian morality can be summed up in the simple phrases, good thoughts, good words, good deeds. And the way to knowing what is good comes from a fourfold process of observation, application of reason, meditation, and intuitive knowledge. In these last two steps, one is listening to hear the voice of divine wisdom, along with observation and reason, to come to know what is good. In Native religions, often shamanic journeys help with spiritual growth and discernment. In this process, one must listen to the beings that show up during ceremony to help guide and offer information. Another spiritual practice involving listening that is employed by many traditions is divination. From African Yoruba tradition of casting cowrie shells, to reading Celtic runes, to the I Ching in China, and more modern tarot cards, there are many ways to listen to wisdom messages that help us grow and deepen our own spiritual understanding of ourselves and the world. Whatever path calls to us, We can find deeper meaning in life by listening to the small, still voice inside of us. New Age author Shakti Gawain puts it this way. Every time you don't follow your inner guidance, you feel a loss of energy, loss of power, and sense of spiritual deadness. All of us, as you use, have the freedom to listen to our own hearts without judgment, to discern our own truth and meaning. Maya Angelou wrote that there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. And this brings us to the last part of our covenant, to help one another. Sometimes the thing that needs to be listened to isn't some political point of view or the small, still voice inside. Sometimes what needs to be heard is someone's untold story. As a chaplain, one of the things I most often encountered with elderly and dying patients was their desire to tell their stories. In fact, a lot of that job was listening. People wanted to be seen and heard and understood. It is important to be known by another. And by listening, we can help hold space for the stories that define us. I had a patient who kept returning to the hospital with a burn that wouldn't heal. She told me about having been a drug addict when she was younger. She had a son, and when he was a baby, she left him and continued living on the streets and doing drugs. She eventually got clean and was reunited with her son when he was 3 years old. Now she had a supportive husband and was building a relationship with her son. She told me she had gotten over her past, but she kept circling back to it when we would talk. I asked her if she had forgiven herself. And as she talked it out, she realized, no, she hadn't. She still judged herself for who she had been and not who she had become. She needed someone else to hear her story and tell her it was okay to forgive the part of herself that did drugs and abandoned her son. We came up with a ritual to do where she was able to let go of the old her and embrace the new her. She made the connection that maybe she wasn't healing because she didn't deserve that she needed to be, didn't deserve being healed. She did not return to the hospital after that. As many of you know, I am studying to be an interfaith spiritual director, and listening is a major component of that work. The first week I spent with my classmates, we did so much listening. It was amazing to spend a week with 15 other people who were actively working on being good listeners. At the end of our week together, we all expressed what an amazing life-affirming week we had had. We all had profound experiences, both listening to others and being listened to. I had a particular experience of my own of being listened to in a way that helped me gain more clarity about my own spiritual growth. We were discussing the type of things that clients might come to us with. Our teacher, John, brought up the idea that some people have a monster God that comes from their childhood or hurtful and damaging experiences with religion. People might carry a fear of a judgmental God, a vengeful God, a God who is always watching and keeping tally of everything we do. We were asked to pair up with a partner and talk about our own monster God, or the God that we fear might exist. Having been UU my whole life, nothing much came to mind. I knew about the ideas others might have, but I have never believed in such a God myself, nor has anyone pressured me to. As I started to talk to my partner about not having a God I was afraid of, she listened and gave me space to explore those ideas. And as we sat there, I realized that I have a fear there is no God, or divine, or any meaning in life. A fear that the things I grew up, that I experience that I call God, I'm just making up. Growing up UU, for me, belief was something that other people had. And often there was a judgment that came along with that, for people believing anything more than just science. As my partner listened, I was able to realize a deeper truth that I carry. Because I didn't feel judged or rushed or dismissed, I was able to really explore my answer to the question and have a real insight into my spiritual self. So how do we do it? Well, first we decide it's something we want to do. I would go as far as saying it's something we have to do. There are many resources out there, books and workshops and things to become a better listener. But some things to think about when listening are as follows. Stop talking. Take turns. Let the other person speak without interrupting. This can be especially hard with people we are close to. We often jump in to finish someone else's sentence or enthusiastically agree or disagree with them. We think we know what they are saying. Pause before speaking. Don't spend time the other person is talking thinking up replies. Let them speak and then allow a pause. This pause allows the other person to make sure they've said all they wanted to say, and it gives you time to gather your thoughts and respond. Listen for understanding. Don't assume that you know what the other person means. Actually listen to what they are saying without filtering it through your preconceived ideas. You don't have to believe or agree with what the other person is saying, but it is important to understand it. Let the listener know that you're with them. Nod, use your body language and facial expressions. Be patient. Be in the moment. Don't think about what else you have to do that day. Did you turn the heat off when you left the house? What are you going to have for dinner? Listen with compassion and an open mind. Leave your agenda and judgment aside. Be curious and interested in what the other person has to say. And I'd like to give you three daily practices that will help you be a better listener, since I haven't given you enough to think about already. But doing these things will help the rest of listening come easier. Number one, spend at least 1 minute each day in silence. Use that silence to listen for God or the spirit of life or any wisdom to come to you. Two, practice reflection. Take a deep breath before you respond and listen to your soul. And three, be present. Pay attention and be mindful. Be with the other person you are with. Sometimes instead of thinking, what can I say to make the world a better place? Let us try thinking, how can I listen to make the world a better place?